Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing. You know that music. That is Mr. Rogers is changing his sweater and putting his shoes on, apparently. What are you guys doing with that music?
It's everyone loves Raymond's music. Ray knows.
I guess that tells you how much everybody loves Raymond I watch. Raymond.
Somehow Jason managed to confuse Mr. Rogers with Everybody Loves Raymond.
How did that happen, Austin, Ray?
I've never seen Everybody Loved Raymond.
Ray, that's crazy. Everyone knows Mr. Rogers. Jason, come on, Jason.
I didn't confuse Mr. Rogers. I know who Mr. Rogers is. I didn't know the theme song from Everybody Loves Raymond. Now it makes sense. I didn't understand. Now I understand. I've been enlightened. Thank you, Limits.
I gotcha.
Anyway, what a transition. Ray Fittipaldo is brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, LGKG.com. We find Ray Fittipaldo amid sort of a quiet period for the Steelers. It's never that quiet. Ray, I want to get into this a little bit later. Did you see James Harrison's comments on the Nightcap video stream with Hushman Zada?
I did not, no.
Okay. All right. Well, he was comparing Mike Tomlin to Bill Cowher. And I do think there's some irony there. You know, I think James Harrison probably took advantage of that a little bit. But Tomlin being too much of a player's coach, do you think that's a fair criticism of Mike?
Yeah, I think in certain instances, it is. I think if you look back at the careers of certain players, I think, you know, where Mike wants to be understanding and give guys some freedom, I think he's been a little bit lax sometimes with some of those guys taking advantage of that. And the guy who always comes to mind for me is Antonio Brown. And, you know, we know how that ended back in 2018. And honestly, there's been other instances as well. But, you know, I sort of get James. He's one of those guys from that era who played for Bill, but he also played a long time for Mike too. So he's certainly a good guy who could sort of draw comparisons and, contrast with those guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, I understood what Harrison was saying there, and I mostly agree with him. I do think that's a criticism of Tomlin that, you know, I wish he was a little bit tougher. But one thing I disagreed with Harrison on, Ray, he said if this goes poorly, he could see them cutting ties with Aaron Rodgers in the middle of the season. I don't see that, and I want to frame the question to you this way. If it does go poorly, you know, how do you see that looking? They'll probably ride it out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And by poorly, what does that mean? I mean, if they're 2-6 at the halfway point, I mean, Jason, you know, way back in 2013, a little bit more than a decade ago, they started 0-4 and 2-6, and they almost snuck into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they're never going to give up on a season. Even if it does go bad, they'll likely stick with Rodgers and believe they can ride it out and, you know, get to a point where he can lead them to winning games. But I don't see that happening. They wanted Aaron for a reason, and they're going to stick it out with him as long as necessary.
Pomp and Joe Show, Jason Mackey in for the guys. We're chatting with Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Read his work, of course, at post-gazette.com. You can follow Ray on X at RayFit1. Ray, another thing about Aaron Rodgers, I was struck with his appearance on McAfee basically setting up that this would be his last year. I know I'm swinging the pendulum the complete other way, but if this goes well, do you think there's a world where Aaron Rodgers could want to come back? Like if they win, you know, 10, 11 games, get a playoff win, he plays well. Do you think they could, one, the Steelers welcome him back, and two, Aaron want to come back?
Well, it doesn't sound like it from the way Aaron is talking right now. It sounds like he's very much at peace with this being his last season in Pittsburgh, and I understand that the way his two-year stint in New York, began and ended. You know, there wasn't really a lot of good in there. But listen, if your scenario is correct, let's say they They win 11 games. They're a road team in the wild card round, and they win a game. Maybe he would get the itch to come back, and maybe in that circumstance, you know, wouldn't deter the Steelers from drafting a quarterback. But maybe in that circumstance, they could say, hey, let's do this again, $10 million a year, and you can groom the next guy. So I don't think that's in either of their minds right now. But in your circumstance, yeah, I could see that coming together. I don't think Aaron is in that place right now.
Ray, it's June 27th, man. We got to come up with some hypotheticals, right? I mean, that's what we're doing here for the next month. Speaking of which, TJ Watt, what's the latest on him? And what is your expectation with Watt, both in terms of a contract and reporting to training camp next month?
Yeah, nothing new now. You know, pretty much the entire NFL is on vacation from now until the middle of July. So all those guys are taking time off, agents and front office personnel included. As far as my expectation for a contract go, I think it's going to get done eventually, Jason, but I don't have any real timetable, and I do not have a feel right now, and there hasn't really been any leaks from the agents about this. You know, guys like Terry McLaurin, TJ Watt, a lot of guys held out during minicamp. No one has really tipped their hand and say, okay, we're going to hold in, we're going to report and be a good soldier, or we're going to play hardball and hold out. And really, the last time a Steelers player played hardball was Le'Veon Bell back in 2017. And, I'm not drawing comparisons between TJ and Le'Veon, but that was the last time we had a high-profile contract holdout. We've had hold-ins since then, but we really haven't had a holdout, I think, in the last 7 or 8 years.
Devil's advocate, Ray, and I don't know how I feel about this. I'm just, I think this is something that people wonder. Why not just let TJ play out his contract and then franchise tag him? That is within the Steelers' rights. I don't think it's something they're going to do. But why wouldn't a team do that?
I just they don't think it's good business. I think the NFLPA and the players have said this for a long time, Jason. They cannot stand the franchise tag. They would like to get rid of it. And I think it's okay. I think they realize, hey, if you're coming off a rookie contract, they understand that's part of it. But to do that to a veteran, to put him in that situation where he's got to go year to year, those guys want security. Those guys want that money up front. And to do that, I don't think it would be good business. But you're right. It's well within their, their parameters. They can certainly do that. And people forget, you could put the franchise tag on him and then work for the next 4 or 5 months towards training camp to getting a deal done. So it doesn't have to be acrimonious, but in most cases when teams do that, it does become acrimonious, and it doesn't always end well.
Acrimonious, that's a good word, Ray. That's a 10-cent word. It might be a 25-cent word. Very impressive.
That's my SAT word for the day.
I love it. I love it. Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Pomp and Joe Show. Another question about Aaron Rodgers, Ray, and this was, I know we didn't have a lot of time at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex, but one of the conversation topics was the amount of autonomy Aaron Rodgers is going to have in the offense with Arthur Smith and how those two are going to work together. What was your takeaway on that? Do you expect kind of a different working relationship between Aaron and Arthur Smith this year?
I do, and Aaron made it a point in that interview to say he's going to learn the offense, and he's going to ask Arthur to put certain things in, but he made it a point to say this is Arthur's offense. I retweeted something yesterday that Ryan Switzer posted about the 2018 season. It was about just like the video game seasons that AB and Juju had there. Like AB had like 1,800 yards, Juju had like 1,500, and it was a spectacular offensive season for the Steelers. Now they didn't make the playoffs because the defense was bad, but it was a great offensive year. And I retweeted Switzer because he said Ben called half that season by himself. And that was Randy Fietner's first season as OC. And the reason I retweeted it, I'm just the storyline of, and it's not just Arthur Smith, okay? It's every offensive coordinator, every coach in the NFL now. They don't want to give their quarterbacks that freedom. You remember Matt Canada took away that freedom from Ben Roethlisberger, you know, back in, you know, his first season, I think it was 2021. You know, Ben didn't have the same freedoms. Now, you know, Ben ignored that and he did it on his own, but the point is they tried to take it away. So I blame Mike Tomlin. I blame all these other coaches for wanting to micromanage things. I just think football is better when you had quarterbacks being able to use their smarts, their brains at the line of scrimmage. Now, not everyone can do it, but certainly Aaron Rodgers can do it. And I think the Steelers will eventually come around to that. I just think it's going to take some time for he and Arthur to work that out.
Yeah, I mean, they better. To me, that was senseless the way they handled things with Russell Wilson. You bring in a veteran quarterback, let him be a veteran quarterback. If you're going to sign Aaron Rodgers, let him be Aaron Rodgers. I don't understand that. So, all right, a couple more points with Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette before we let Ray go. Wide receiver two, Ray, is there a world where Calvin Austin III and Roman Wilson become that guy, or is your expectation still that they bring in somebody at some point before Latrobe?
Yeah, I mean, Jason, I think they'll bring in somebody, but I don't know that that guy has to project as the number two. I could very much see a situation where, you know, they add a depth piece, you know, because I do think they have to protect themselves against injuries. And I don't think
in 6 minutes via Pennsylvania turnpike.
I don't think they're
turn
ready
on the turnpike,
do that
Ray.
Now.
Don't miss it,
Ray. Don't miss your exit. Come on, Ray.
I'm not. But yeah, I think that's a situation that they're going to have to figure out as they go here, and we'll see what happens here in a month or so.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate the time, Ray. Don't crash. I don't know where you're going, but follow your directions. We appreciate it.
Going to Hershey Park, so thanks, Jason.
Yes, take care. All right, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Follow Ray on Twitter or X at RayFit1. Read his stuff at post-gazette.com. What do you think, Limits, about anything?
Well, I'm optimistic about what the offense could look like with Rodgers.
I know, I am too.
And, you know, has he won the press conference over the last couple of weeks? Yes. But at the same time, people have knocked on Rodgers for losing the press conference, for saying all kind of things about teammates and throwing guys under the bus. And, you know, a lot of teammates say that he is a good guy in the locker room and he is somebody who is well-respected in the locker room and is all around a good teammate. I know that's been a frequent criticism of Rodgers. Like, is he going to show up or is he going to be in Egypt? So far, so good. And I think it's been different than what he showed in 2 years with the Jets. Now, it's a starting point. It's not the end-all, be-all. But you have to start somewhere. You have to set a good first impression. And I think Rodgers is doing that so far.
Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, to me, I've been down there a few times, obviously only one day with Rodgers in the fold. It was a lot better than I expected, and I mean that on myriad levels. The ball's coming out nice. He moves around as good as you can expect for a 41-year-old. The way teammates talk about him, the way he's handling himself, his comments on Pat McAfee. You know, I don't want to say I'm encouraged by this, but I'm kind of encouraged by it. I think it could go a lot worse. Like, I don't think the Steelers are doing something that they're going to regret. I know we had a caller earlier, or maybe it was last night, they kind of both blend together, not understanding why the Steelers are doing this. I understand why the Steelers are doing this. I wish their ceiling was higher. I still think it's 10 or 11 wins and maybe a playoff victory. But I understand why they're doing it. He gives them the best chance to win. He gives them the best chance of having a competent passing offense. Now, I don't think that's complete. I think there's a discussion to be had about who runs opposite DK Metcalf. I don't think it should be Robert Woods. I've got some concerns if it's Calvin Austin or Roman Wilson. If that happens, great. If Roman Wilson exceeds expectations and is just wide open and you have to throw him the ball, fantastic. But we've seen, and I know it's a different sport, a different team, a different way of operating, with the Pirates, what happens when you go into a season with so much hope? There's a lot of hope on the Steelers right now if you look at their wide receivers. I'd like to have a little bit more certainty. And I don't care if that comes in the form of Alan Lazard. I was reading a piece before the show talking about Adam Thielen being an option, trading for Terry McLaurin, which I don't think is going to happen. Gabe Davis, Keenan Allen. There's Amari Cooper. I mean, there's a lot of places they can go. I feel good about some. I don't like some others. What I feel adamant about with the Steelers is that they shouldn't be a finished product. They can't arrive at training camp with this current group. I don't think they've improved enough out wide.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
One thing I was going to ask Ray, Austin, that I didn't, was would you ever send your kids to a George Pickens football camp?
Oh boy, I feel like that would come with a little bit of a warning sign before you even sign up.
Yeah.
You know? Very unfortunate, everything that transpired there, but good on Pat Freiermuth, man, for stepping up.
Penn State!
That's right. Penn State's own. That's that Happy Valley hospitality that is stepping up to host the camp and be a guest there and take part in it. And you know, Pat's done a lot of really cool things for the city. He's been a really good, I think, ambassador for the Steelers, whether it be on the field, whether he's handled himself in the media. He has been frequent at Celebrity Softball when Doran has that event out with the Wild Things. And he's just somebody who I think the Steelers like having around as a very productive player, but also somebody who gives back. And it sets a good example, and it's something that Cam Hayward has done a really good job of, and it's really, I wouldn't say passing the torch from Hayward to Freiermuth. It's good to have multiple guys that can do that, but bridging generations a little bit.
For sure. Absolutely. And good on Freiermuth for doing it. I was railing on this last night on the evening show. As a parent, if my kids played football, my 11-year-old plays flag football. He might start playing tackle in the fall. I'm not sending him to a George Pickens football camp.
No. What would they teach there? Lack of effort on the field, showing up late to Christmas Day games?
I know. Okay, you see that pass over there? No. We're not going to worry about catching that. You want to deck the defensive back on the other side of the end zone. That's what we're trying to do. Excuse me, sir, but your finger gun celebration is not up to par. We're going to have to go through some drills to work on that.
Maybe they'll do how to properly grab a defensive back's face mask at the end of the game and whip it around.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean,
how to fight out of the end zone.
Bunch of six-year-olds with expletives on eye black.
Yes.
See how many places you can put the F word, young boy.
How do you calm down your teammates when they're pouting on the sideline about not getting the ball?
How do you strategically not block? No. The key is to look like you're working. You don't. That's too obvious.
Well, at least
you got to fake.
At least he went into the game and didn't complain that it was too cold.
That's one step above Deontay Johnson. How ridiculous was that, Limits?
And it was like a 44-degree day. I think it was in the 30s at the time. Deontay didn't want to put something bad on tape. So where does he go? Up by the lake in Cleveland with lake effect snow, and he's going to be freezing his you-know-what off.
I hope so.
I hope they have a day where it's like 4 degrees, and Deontay has to go in there and catch a pass from Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett with his gloves on, throwing it to Deontay, who's really cold and has like 4 different layers on, and the Browns lose 27-10.
So do you think John Harbaugh went up to him on the sideline and said something? Like, who do you think was working with Deontay Johnson at that point? And how would you handle that if you were a coach?
The first thing that pops into my mind is, what if Deontay was playing with Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, and Haloti Ngata on his team?
Gosh.
I feel like Ray Lewis would do something Not well to Deontay.
I don't want to say he deserved it, because he wouldn't deserve that. But, I mean, man, if I'm the coach of that team, I'm telling Deontay Johnson, there are two places you can go, son. You can go onto that field and play football for us, or you can take your things and go home, because you're not coming back. And that's what they did.
They sent him out and goodbye.
I'd tell him to get in the locker room. I do not want to see you ever again. Get out. You don't want to play. You don't want to play because you're cold. Give me a break.
Yeah, Jason, I stood out there in the Cincinnati game. It was like 20 degrees, Maybe it was a different game. My feet were absolutely freezing. I felt like I was in an ice block. I had four pairs of socks on, and it turns out the texters all told me, Limits, you're wearing too many socks. There's no circulation for your feet. That's why your feet are cold.
They're not wrong, Limits.
I didn't realize that, so I guess I should just wear two pairs of socks.
Wear two pairs of socks or go to, you know, whatever outdoor clothing company and go buy something warm.
Well, the rest of my body was warm. It was just my feet.
Well, didn't Lieutenant Dan teach you anything? Your feet. Change your socks.
Right. The feet are obviously important.
You've seen Forrest Gump, right?
I have.
Okay.
Poor Lieutenant Dan. I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Keep your job. All right. So we've kind of steered off path. We're going to get us back there a little bit. I mean, this does relate to something I wanted to talk about, though, Limits, and that I miss coaches who were tougher on players. And here's where this is coming from. James Harrison, he was on this Nightcap video stream with TJ Houshmandzadeh. The quote, "With Mike, the biggest thing that I like about him is he's a player's coach," Harrison said, "and the thing that I dislike about him is that he is a player's coach to the point of sometimes it can disrupt because it goes maybe a little too far with allowing certain things with certain players, and then it becomes an issue with that player." So what James Harrison is saying is that Mike Tomlin lets certain guys get away with too much. We know this. Antonio Brown, Martavis, Le'Veon Bell. And I understand coaching pro sports, you're going to coach the best player on your team differently than you're going to coach the worst player on your team. If you're a star, you've earned that. But I'm not sure that being a player's coach is always a good thing. It's like being a parent. Sometimes it's better to be a jerk. Sometimes it's okay if they hate you. And we saw an instance of this recently with Don Kelly and O'Neal Cruz. And before that with Derek Shelton, I think we saw a failure to be the difficult parent. Mike Sullivan was willing to be the difficult parent. I always liked and respected that about Mike. He had other flaws, and you can criticize him other ways. That's certainly fair. But look at the Penguins' most recent run of success. What did he do? He came in and got in some people's faces. He didn't take any crap. There's nothing wrong with being a coach and being a bit of a jerk. I don't know when we evolved as a society or as a sports society to where coaches need to be friends. They don't. I really like playing for this guy. People will say that, and it's a compliment. I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of an old man, but like that's almost a indictment. You don't always have to love playing for the guy. Now, if you can strike a balance that I really, really respect this person, he's a good person and he has my best interest, but he's not all warm and fuzzy. That's great. You've won. You've got a good coach. But a good coach, a good parent, isn't somebody's friend. I try to explain that to my kids. I don't know if it ever gets through. I'm sure you do some version of the same thing with yourselves. Like, I'm not getting on you because I woke up today and I want to be a jerk. I'm getting on you because I love you and I see your potential and I'm not going to let this slide. It's my job to be your parent. I'm not your parent, I'm your friend. Or I'm not your friend, I'm your parent. And I mean, yeah, you should be able to do both. You should be able to coach somebody. You should be able to relate to them. You are going to treat people differently. I understand that. But it's one of those things in sports, I don't like how far we've slid in this direction where if a coach is a jerk, it's almost like he's in danger of losing the team. And I wonder if that's not why Don Kelly was hesitant to bench O'Neal Cruz. He should have benched O'Neal Cruz on Friday night when Cruz didn't run after that ball, and nobody can convince me otherwise. He didn't bench him because he was probably afraid that he was would lose Cruz, and that O'Neal would pout, he'd be sad about it, his feelings would be hurt. I understand trying to relate to players in certain ways, but when you shortchange me on effort, I'm sorry, that's over. I need you to run after the ball. You can screw things up. You can make physical errors. We're going to run after. And to Donnie Kelly's credit, he talked with O'Neal. He didn't let it slide. When O'Neal didn't run the ball out in Milwaukee, O'Neal thought there were a different set of outs, or thought there were two outs. Then you bench him. Great. But I'm just tired of hearing about, we really like playing for this coach. He's a player's coach. I don't want a player's coach. I'll take Bill Cowher. I'll take Jim Leland. I'll take coaches that aren't my friends. I'll take people that might be a little bit prickly, but if they have my best interest at heart, if they have the best interests of the team, if they're going to set a standard and not let people deviate from it, I'm cool with that. I miss it. And I don't know if that's ever coming back. That's a change in our sports society that I just, there are very few. You kind of have to be like Andy Reid, right? Andy Reid can get away with a little bit of that. He's not a, you know, he's a player's favorite, but also has the right speed to sort of rein it in. It's a delicate balance, and it's becoming harder. But I don't love, and I bristle when I see this about guys love playing for Mike Tomlin. Maybe if they liked playing for Mike Tomlin a little bit less, the Steelers would be a little bit better. Have a high standard. Don't let stuff tolerate. Don't tolerate things that you shouldn't. There's a lengthy list. Austin and I were talking about Deontay Johnson. You can look at Chase Claypool, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant. All of this crap that has happened with the Steelers, it's not a badge of honor to say that you've tolerated it. Sometimes you don't. And the Steelers have lost their patience. I just argue that sometimes that patience could have been lost a little bit sooner.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.